Welcome to Redemption Metagaming with your hosts, Alex and Westy.
All right, we are live. Everybody, we are back at Redemption Metagaming. It's me, Andrew Wester, Westy, and...
Oh, you're doing the pause thing. The pause thing is really stupid. I hate when people do that in videos.
Wait, applause? I'm not doing applause.
The pause, where you stop in your introduction. It's really been bothering me on all the videos I've been watching for the states, Pokemon states.
That's true.
But anyway, I'm Alex Oliva. It's just always a really awkward transition like that. That's why I don't like it.
Fair enough. I figured you'd pick up on it, though, because we've been playing, watching all this.
It's better to be funny than to be on point.
That's true. So instead, you just criticize me. anyway, as Alex mentioned, we've been doing a lot of Pokemon recently. There hasn't been a lot of redemption activity.
There hasn't been any redemption activity.
Well, I mean, we haven't done anything since Nationals, and since then, a new set was released.
We did some stuff for that.
Zach Cornell became a national champion.
They played Disciples, though. That deck's been there forever.
Yeah, there wasn't anything new and creative, which is kind of sad, because Redemption doesn't have a well-defined meta, and it should be open to new and creative stuff. And
yes, that is true.
I was kind of hoping to see something cool, like Hand Discard. It was really cool.
Hand Discard is cancerous. It's probably one of my least favorite like archetypes of any game I've ever played, ever.
That's very fair, but at least it wasn't part of the meta. Like, I'm glad the deck hasn't won a national championship yet.
I don't know about that.
I don't know.
Now we're going to get right into it here. Okay, so, I mean, basically, me and Westy haven't been investing a lot of time in Redemption for a variety of reasons. One of my personal big reasons with it is just that there's a ton of stuff out there that is just, like, incredibly cancerous and terrible to play. And, like people talk about, like, the no-fun play experience and, like, Redemption, like, almost everything is a no-fun play experience. And, like, I feel like it's almost over-policed, where there's, like, so much that can potentially not be fun that people work, like, super, super hard. Like, especially, like I'm gonna name-shout Professor Underwood here. He campaigns against so much different stuff, which, like, some of it is definitely, like, probably bad for the game. But with, like, the direction the game is moving, or at least in my opinion, like, it's moving towards things that I don't think are particularly fun. Like, I hate determining initiative and battles. I hate everything about them. I like the like, in-territory manipulation and the... Like, the preparation phase focus was, like, that's way more interesting to me than battle phase.
Territory class characters bring an interesting element into that, I think. And I haven't really had a chance to try them out. I've been playing a lot of Booster Draft recently.
I'm going to be honest, even with what I just said, I actually don't like them that much. I think there's going to be something. It's just too easy to break that. I like the idea in theory, but I don't know how much I like it in practice.
I think it works well for some cards and it doesn't work well for others. I don't like how it seems like all of them are just additional artifacts, if that makes any sense. Mm, they're passive abilities, like Nicanor.
Right.
Nicanor.
That's what it all comes back to, I think, is the fact that there's a ton of cards in Redemption that you play them without any sort of cost. And like that, I think that's the root of almost all of the game's problems.
And
so every card you play, generally speaking, doesn't have a cost.
There's a couple of problems that ties into that. Because not only... The counter cards, I feel, are much more powerful as well. To the point where it totally debilitates strategy.
Mm. So you're saying, like,
because
they've like been over-countered.
Right. It's both sides. It's you create a card that's extremely powerful, like Angel Under the Oak, mm-hmm. And then you're like, well, this card's really powerful. We got to print 4 and Y's to stop it. And it just keeps escalating in a way.
I think it's tough because there isn't really a good way to counter a lot of cards. because of the way the rules are structured and how cards, like, either you end up with, like, OP fortresses or even potentially territory class heroes now, or you get, like, really crappy counters on, like, artifacts that no one wants to play.
Or territory heroes.
Or territory heroes. So, yeah, it's definitely, like, a really awkward transition. And then, like, I think, like, it's I think I've been well-known as on the bandwagon for a while that I think Redemption should reset at some point, or at least, like, cut stuff off and, like, do a set rotation of some kind. But
I'm still not sure how practical that is.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree, but it's just tough. Like, I just think there's a lot of irreparable harm that's been done to the game that's not even necessarily anyone's fault. But, like, that's, because you have to think about all those things whenever you're making new cards, it's really restrictive as to what you can actually do.
I will say that they have done a good job at keeping in mind old cards recently.
Mm-hmm.
For a while there, it was really hard because they would release a card and then somebody would pull out a card from, like, Warriors or something like that that wasn't worded correctly.
Yeah, exactly.
It would blow up.
That's fair.
They've done a lot better more recently about, mm-hmm. well, as far as I know,
yeah.
It may just be that nobody's found the old cards yet. They've done well at trying to keep those
right.
in mind, and even
right.
incorporating those with things like Good Samaritan
mm-hmm.
and Gideon.
I think too, like, I think that goes to another reason. You're sort of speaking to another reason why, at least I don't think either of us have, like, invested a lot of time in the last year and a half. It's just because, I think we both play a card game in general to try to win and to try to be competitive at it. And, like, Redemption is just not a game where, at this time, people are playing competitively. We've been playing Pokemon, and, like, you've typically done better than I have, and, like, I would say I'm like, an average player. Okay, fair, but that's because you don't go to any tournaments. but, I mean, like, it's just, like, just the fact that, like, there is a competitive element to it in a way that there isn't with Redemption is appealing to me.
That's
like,
fair.
I feel as if there's something to strive for, even if I don't ever get there.
Well, and the thing about Redemption is there are very, very good Redemption players. You know, you look at, like, Justin Elstead and Gabe Isbell, and
right.
these guys are incredible players. The problem is when you...
I guess what I'm trying to say is that, like, because of the fun and fellowship element of Redemption, the competition element of it has never really been, like, well fleshed out, I think would be the right way to say it.
I agree.
So as a result of that, it's sort of, like, been denigrated as a whole, especially in the community.
I feel like the community is...
I don't think it draws those types of people.
That's fair.
Because that's not the reason people are playing Redemption. The reason people are playing Redemption is because it's like a Christian alternative to something.
To a competitive game. And
right, like they're not playing it for the... They aren't playing it for the merits itself. They're playing it because it's a Christian version. And that's just been my take on it. I'm not necessarily saying that's the case, but that's just sort of how I felt about it.
No, and I agree. And it kind of goes back to what I said earlier about not being a defined metagame. You have the good players who know the good decks, and most of these are forum members. But then you also have a lot of players bringing about not-so-good decks, and they're still playing, like, I don't know.
That's true. That's probably...
Musicians, or even right. things like, I don't know, Egyptians with red to deck discard. Just,
right.
like, not the most optimal of decks.
Sure.
And I feel like it would be a much more competitive game. In Pokemon, every single round you go up
right.
somebody, they're 90% of the time, or 95 even, they're going to be playing a top-tier deck.
Right, that's probably the biggest difference between Redemption and Pokemon that I've found. It's just that almost everyone who you go to a tournament, at least like a bigger tournament, what we would see is like a States tournament or above, like almost everyone is playing like a deck that you could reasonably expect to do well at the tournament. Whereas
right.
in Redemption, that's definitely not the case. Where people are playing decks that are just like, oh, like I have fun playing this.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's not necessarily a bad reason to play the deck, but it's just a very different outlook as to whenever you're going into the tournament.
Right.
And in Pokemon, that makes it a lot easier to, like, from my standpoint, it makes it a lot easier to build my own deck because, hey, like, I'm not going to find, like, every deck has a counter. That's just sort of how it works. But for a lot of decks, the counters are just, like, not particularly good in the large scale. And so in Redemption, I'm much more likely to run into that, like, one crappy little defense that only beats, like, my deck and this other deck. Whereas in Pokemon, like, if I pick a deck and it has a weakness, I might not ever see it because it's just not competitively viable.
Okay, that makes sense.
So it can make it, I think in some ways it makes deck building a little bit easier.
Well, and I think that kind of leads into our next point, which is, and I'm trying to think of exactly how to phrase this, but part of the reason we're coming back is, yeah, that's where I'm going with this.
Yeah,
there is an effort to sort of get news out there, and that's why we originally started, was to create a metagame, is to put good lists in the hands of adequate players so that they can be competitive with players slightly better, even if they aren't as skilled, which creates a more competitive game overall. You have to be on your game every single game if people have good decks.
Yeah, and if just people, like, for me, it's that, like, I hate giving out deck lists in anything. So, like, it was always about, like, showing people why things are the way they are. This is why this deck is good. This is the thought process behind it. Because that's going to apply across every deck in every format in the future.
Teaching a man to fish instead of giving them a fish.
Yeah, I wasn't going to be that ridiculous, but yes. Lao Tzu did say that. It is true.
I feel like there's some sort of redemption card reference of fishers to men or something, but
yeah, probably. There's probably some sort of Bible joke I could make.
But no, I'm really excited to see if Land of Redemption can take off and really help boost the competitive scene and hopefully Redemption in general.
Yeah, I think we're both willing to throw some support behind other people who are working towards something. Not that I guess, like, then finally, the last element of the fact that, at least for myself, not playing very much is the fact that I just don't really have a ton of time. Like 2 weeks ago, I just started a new job. I moved to a new Chick-fil-A restaurant that I manage. So for the last 2.5 weeks, I've been working about 70 hours a week. So I just don't have a lot of time for Redemption or really anything else but Chick-fil-A. Eventually that's going to slow down, and I'll have some time. And I also haven't had a laptop that has had Lackey on it, and I haven't really pushed myself to put it on. But, like, now if there's, you know, some different people doing some different things, and apparently you can play Booster Draft, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah, Booster Draft is a lot of fun on Lackey.
Yeah, I'm conclusively the best Booster Draft player in the country, so I figure I should throw my hat in the ring, you know?
Who won Booster Draft last year? I don't even know.
I don't remember. I stopped playing the category or following after I won.
You went out on top.
Exactly.
No, I've been extremely busy, too, with school. I only have one more semester before I graduate, so I'm kind of focused on that and playing a lot of Hearthstone.
Yeah, that's fair.
A lot of Hearthstone. I have started recently to make an effort to learn the new cards through Booster Draft, just as a more casual way to do it, but I'm hoping to get back in the game and make it out to Knoxville, at least for Type 1 2 player.
Yeah, if it works out, I'll try to get Nationals, but it's definitely not something I'm, like, going to push my schedule for. It depends what weekend it falls on, what else I need off in the summer, what that looks like.
So Josh Knitt won Booster Draft last year.
Okay, I feel like I remember that.
Yeah, it rings a bell.
I read the standings.
At some point.
I think, like, in the future, we're not really sure what this looks like. Mostly from the time element of that. Like, we don't necessarily know how much time we have to devote to something. But I think in theory, it's similar to what we were doing before. I'm not sure what sort of software. Definitely, we can, with Lackey now, I think it'll be a little bit easier to try to record some games potentially.
I also have downloaded some software if we ever want to stream games. I've started streaming Hearthstone on Twitch.
Okay, cool. So we could potentially do that. I'm pretty sure everything is through, like, Land of Redemption right now.
Uh-huh.
I know there's also some other stuff going on behind the scenes that people might find out about eventually, but I don't really know what sort of timetables are out there. I actually don't really know anything about Land of Redemption either. I just know that there's, like, lots of people. Yeah, that's what Gabe said. So I have, like, two PMs from Gabe that describe more than one person, and that's about all I know. So this is all going to be a big surprise to me, too.
It's going to be exciting to see how it unfolds.
Yeah, you know. You never know. Like, maybe Jay Chambers will play again, but I heard he quit to preach the word.
Why not both?
Why not both? The Redemption is the word. It's on the cards.
But it's a competitive game.
Yeah, I should probably not make that joke. After what I just complained about. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, I like the deck building part of Redemption, so I can pretty much just sit here and, like, build decks all day long and then talk about them. So I'm sure, like, as long as we have enough time to do something, I think our goal is, like, every 2 weeks, I believe, is what we talked about. I know Andrew plays a lot of booster draft, so if nothing else, there could always be a lot of booster draft comments.
I'm really gunning for the booster draft national title.
There's a lot of training happening. It might be the most competitive field in years because everyone plays it online.
Guarantee the top table will be me, Rek, Justin Allstead, and RDT.
Because you guys play like all the time.
Yeah, we're playing like 3 times a week at least.
That's a lot.
Yeah. It's gotten pretty absurd.
I can tell you there still won't be any Type 2 content because Type 2 is terrible and I hate it.
But it's so competitive. I mean, they had a whole 9 players.
Apparently, it's a more open meta. Apparently, the rumor is it's a more open meta than Type 1. But if Type 1, I also
have heard... It's also more cancerous, though.
Yeah, I've also heard Type 1 is like has defense now, which seems ridiculous. I'm not sure if I trust what anyone's saying.
It's because we left the game.
Yeah, we saw it. We can fix it. We can make everyone just play offense again. Like, I feel like they keep printing more and more OP defensive cards. So, like, I should need less and less of them to get blocks. Like, I don't know why people would want to add more defense. It's even better. Like, you can use less of it and still get away with the same.
Yeah. I mean, wasn't it always the case that, like, offensive decks beat balanced decks, and then balanced beats defensive heavy, and defensive heavy sometimes wins against both?
I've always said, like, defensive heavy loses to itself. It only loses to bad draws.
Yeah.
Balanced loses to, like, clumps. It's liable to clump itself one way or the other. And, like, if you're not getting both sides of your deck, then it's useless. You might as well have just been playing one or the other. And then offensive heavy loses to the other person drawing well without souls. Oh,
yeah.
That's probably actually...
Soul draw.
I think for our final piece, maybe wait on our final, but we should probably talk about mulligans. That's been the big thing on.
Yeah, mulligans are a really interesting topic.
I mean, I have some
very good ones to have.
Yeah, I have some pretty harsh feelings about them. If the thread didn't make that evident.
I mean, Pokemon has mulligans and Hearthstone has mulligans, and those are the main two other games that I've played.
Mm-hmm. They function very differently too. Like in Pokemon.
Very differently.
Pokemon, you have to take a mulligan if you meet a certain condition. You never get to choose whether or not to take a mulligan. You either have to take one or you can't take one.
Right.
So that's almost incomparable. Because in Redemption, no matter how you structure it, it's almost going to have to be a choice.
And Magic, the mulligan is dependent on whether, like, it's a full mulligan, but you get to choose whether you want a mulligan or not.
Isn't it a -1 or something?
Yes. But, like, you have to get rid of your whole hand.
Oh, right.
In Hearthstone, you get to pick and choose which cards you want to mulligan back.
Yeah. I think Hearthstone's mulligan's the most interesting. But
it is, but I don't think it works for any other
card. Right. I think one of the reasons it works is because in Hearthstone, the most you can start with is 4 cards in your hand. So even if you mulligan all of them into a 30-card deck, it's, like, it's not really that big of a deal. Whereas in Redemption, like, if you mulligan, like, 7 cards, like, that's a ton of cards to get rid of.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the easiest way to do it either way is going to be a full hand mulligan. And
agreed.
I think that everyone has agreed to that. The primary question is whether or not what happens with Lost Souls. Because, I mean, I think one of the primary reasons to mulligan would be to mulligan away a bad soul draw.
Right.
Or to try to draw a defense to block a soul draw, depending on what mulligan you end up at. I know, like in the thread, I said that I would mulligan any hand that didn't have at least a hero or had a lost soul. My rationale behind that is, of course, like anytime I'm starting with a lost soul, I'm mulliganing because there's a chance I could draw a hand without a lost soul, and no matter how slim that chance is, it's worth it because it's so incredibly OP to have no lost souls in my territory, because then the rest of my hands are relevant as long as I have a whole other turn to draw something. And then,
right.
Secondly, I always want to start with the hero because the most important thing is to put my opponent at a disadvantage by getting the lead and forcing them to play differently, play more aggressively, and to play suboptimally. If they're doing things because they feel like they have to get souls as quickly as possible, then they're not going to be setting up ideal plays, typically. And it just puts me at a big board advantage overall in the game. And it puts me in control, and I'm all about controlling my opponent.
Right. Whatever happens, I think it A, has to be a full hand mulligan, and definitely has to, all the lost souls have to stay on the field. They're also, I think you should only be able to mulligan once. I don't like the idea of
I can get behind that. I'd rather just make it straight, either mulligan or don't mulligan. That's all there is to it.
Otherwise, I don't know. The game can take too long constantly shuffling. Yeah. And this is something that can happen in Pokemon when you have five mulligans in a row. And
there's so much shuffling.
Somebody's
so much
already done with their game while you're still trying to start your game.
Right. That's one of the problems I found with Redemption 2 is the game is lasting so long anyway, and Mulligan is just another way to make it last longer.
Well, part of the reason the game lasts so long is people play slowly.
People play very slowly, and also, like, I mean, people don't realize this, but, like, speed decks are great for the game because it speeds it up. Like, you can play a game in 20 minutes. If you could consistently play Redemption games in 20 minutes, like, there's so much you could do to fix the tournament structure, to fix the play experience. But, like, because there's so many games that get pushed to 30 minutes, half an hour, or 45 minutes, are hitting time, you're just really limited as far as what you can do and what you can do within the context of the game because they just last so long. It's so easy to lose interest in them, especially since there's so many games. That, like, there's no concept of scooping to your opponent in Redemption.
Yeah.
So it's like there's a ton of games, especially if you're playing, like, an offensive-heavy deck against a defensive-heavy deck. There's so many games where you get to, like, 10 minutes in, and, like, you know you're going to lose as the offensive-heavy deck, but, like, you have to sit there and wait. And you just essentially waste, like, 20 minutes at least just waiting for them to draw into their combo or whatever it is.
Right.
It's all waste of time because of the way the game's structured. I'm not sure there's necessarily a good way to fix it or even a way to fix it at all, but it's definitely a problem I've seen.
It's just 15-minute games get very long.
Very. It's hard on you to play that much.
Yeah, by the end of the day, it's been a very long day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I also think that we have to prepare for... If the game is to grow, we have to be prepared for it.
For what?
Well, I mean, like, if there was a 300-person Nationals...
There's never going to be... Oh, I shouldn't say that. Until that problem comes up, then we can deal with it then.
Right. It's... I don't know.
Like, I definitely don't think the current tournament...
I don't feel comfortable with the games getting longer instead of shorter.
Agreed.
Because it doesn't cater towards growth.
Yeah. I would agree with that. Because the longer the game is, the inherently more complex it is, typically.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with complexity, necessarily.
Sure, but considering we're playing a game that has no age bracket difference, it's a barrier to entry, especially for people who, like, want to win, which is, like, most little kids, like, they want to be able to win.
That's another very good point, is the barrier to entry.
Because there's a lot of good points
to make. Redemption is so awkward.
Yeah.
As far as entry goes. But there have been players who do it right away.
Because, like,
a lot of players who just don't. Like, they get a starter deck and they're like, nope.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll have that, I guess.
That's true about any game. I'm not sure. You have a better point to make than that, but I'm not sure how you're doing.
I'm just thinking, like, I look at Gabe Isbell, and he starts.
That's not even the best example. Like I think Josiah Beers or Jerome Beers are the best example recently, where they've acquired a bit of cards, like they're sharp and, like, they just show up and play a deck and, like, they win. He won Nationals. I believe it was his first year playing, or at least, like, his first year playing, like, seriously.
Well, his type two. his type 2 is his first year playing seriously. Sure.
I mean, I think the barrier entries with Redemption are all about acquiring older cards more than they are. Like, maybe that's less of a situation now with the way there's OP new cards, but I know it used to be like I remember when I started playing even, like, it was really hard to acquire Warriors cards. And at the time, like, Strong Angel and, like, Fight by Numbers decks were, like, a dominant archetype that's just, like, suffocating the game. And, like, as a, like I don't know, like, a 14-year-old kid, like, I had almost no way to get those cards without forking over a ton of cash I didn't have. Which, like, I think that's what a lot of people complain about. But, like, I almost think it's wise, not to get back to set rotation, but, like, I almost think set rotation would help with that in that regard, because the older cards are the ones that are hardest to get to. They're the ones that you can't open in packs, potentially. They're the ones that are hardest to trade for that have the most value, typically. And so if you get rid of those cards from being competitively relevant, then you don't have to worry about getting them unless you want them for other purposes or just for fun or whatever.
I'd be entirely okay if out-of-print cards were no longer legal for play.
Right, like, if I never had to acquire a Warriors Captain of the Host, like, that's like a ton of
it's
decks.
It's less
that, you know,
than that because you can get Warriors cards now out of TXP, I believe it is.
Yeah. It's gotten somewhat better than when we would have started, but I still don't think it's
like
optimal.
Falling away is impossible.
Yeah, that's a really good example right now because it's still a super relevant card.
Unless they didn't release that as a promo, did they? I know there was talk about it at some point, but I don't think they ever did.
They better not, because I want Prince of Greece to come out already. I love Greeks. I've been on Greeks for since A-Bomb came out. I've been trying to make A-Bomb work.
But Greeks are so good now, and you haven't been playing with them.
I know. Can't wait to come back to them.
One of the things to look forward to, but we should probably wrap this up.
Yeah, I think that covers where we're at.
Yeah. Game isn't very competitive, but we're excited about where things are going.
Yeah, I think that sums it up, and we want to... You know, if things are actually going to go somewhere, then we're fine with contributing to that, but we weren't going to continue to push rocks that weren't going anywhere and strain our backs and things like that.
Yep, it's a lot of time to put into it. People don't realize
that. That's true, too.
And there wasn't really a lot of, I don't know, it didn't feel like it was going anywhere.
And, like, it also got pretty repetitive because, like, at a certain point, things just don't change that much just because of the nature of the game.
Right. It got a little bit more interesting this year with two phases of early Churchite Appeal, and I wish they'd do that more in future.
Like, split it up a little bit, That's definitely not a bad idea.
Like, it's really cool. Hearthstone right now is releasing a new expansion, and each week they release a few more cards, so each week the metagame is changing entirely. And it's
been
a lot of fun. Yeah. But obviously Redemption can't do it quite like that. No card game can really do it like that other than Hearthstone, I don't think.
Yeah.
But it's cool to see how quickly the meta can fluctuate with just the influx of a few more cards. But Redemption's tournament structure would have to play into that.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a topic for another day.
That's like a whole other video.
Well, I wrote an article on it a while back.
I do remember that.
So if you want to read it, go check out Redemption.
That blog is still active. All of our nuggets of wisdom are still there. If I remember right,
a lot of the information is still relevant.
Yeah, because most of our articles were, I don't remember. I think I wrote like one article about a deck, and then the rest of them were just like general articles, like general deck building strategies, things like that.
I wrote a few about the metagame and teching and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, I think that concludes us here for today, and we look forward to making some more of these in the not too, too distant future.
Again, it should be about every other week. So we'll see you next time.
Redemption Metagaming is brought to you by Land of Redemption and Three Lions Gaming. Visit ThreeLionsGaming.com for all of your redemption needs.